Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest. Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Well, hello, my witchy poo. It's actually an afternoon, so good afternoon, my witchy poo. How are you?
I'm doing very well, my elf. Thank you so much.
And you are to ask, how are you?
I'm supposed to ask, how are you?
Yeah, you are. I am now at the 9-month marker of keto.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Have not had sugar for 9 months. I had blood drawn. I had like all that kind of crap. Yeah, the panels and whatever. My blood pressure has never been lower in my life. It hasn't. It's great.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Congratulations.
I love
You're like 24, right?
I have never felt better. And, you know, like the weight loss is nice to have along with it. It kind of, you know, drops off at its own pace. But this is the first time I haven't cared. Like, because I just feel so good. So that is my thank you. Thank you. I feel really great. So today we're doing, I guess, an improvisational episode, I guess we could call it.
Right. This is happening real time.
Yeah, because we haven't even really talked about it. So you guys are going to get, you're going to hear first what we think before the other one does. So here we go.
It's all you, my elf.
Well, we did briefly talk about what this episode could be. And we landed on, I wanted to call it Vaccination Nation. And my lovely witch corrected me and said, there's bigger issues here at hand and it's more about scarcity. So we're calling it Scarcity City. So apparently, whatever we were going to call it, I needed to have it a geographic location. So whether it was a nation or a city, I had to name it that. So we actually wanted to call this Scarcity City. And it actually happened from an event from yesterday. So this is super fresh. So we're going to kind of like just weave our way through it and bring you guys along because it really feels like it's something that is worth us all thinking about. So what had happened and why I wanted to call it Vaccination Nation is, you know, it feels like right now where we are, it feels a bit like the Hunger Games when it comes to people getting vaccinations, because we now have a demand far outweighs what the supply is. And now everybody knows like this is coming out pretty quick. So you're going to know. If you listen to this in a few months, you'll be like, oh, skip it. I'm going to move on to something else because you've already been vaccinated.
Sorry about that. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, right. What happened was we had a situation here in Arkansas, in Fayetteville, actually, where had a friend, a group of friends, actually, that one of them thought, oh, look, it's Washington Regional Hospital. They're doing vaccinations for people over 50. And so all of us over 50s, we cheered like, hell yes. And so we go in and sign
it's
up.
It's our turn.
It's our turn. And we didn't know how that happened. And in hindsight, it made no sense because it's actually untrue. That is not what had opened up. But we all got really excited and we all went and signed up. And an interesting thing happened is that once somebody figured out, it's like, oh no, that 50 plus was that 50 plus dose. Doses, not for people over 50 plus. So, and this is also shows you the crazy that we're all going through because we all want to be vaccinated. And what was interesting is that of our group here, about half of the people were accepted for an appointment. And then the other half were denied. My wife and I were two that were actually denied. And others were not. And
so interesting, right?
What it came down to is what people put as their employment, I think is why some of them got in. Because in Arkansas, they're doing more industries right now than they are ages or something. So anyway, we get turned down. And some of our friends actually are now vaccinated, which I'm really happy for them. And then one of my friends was like, well, you need to go try again. And then she tried to coach me and say, but tell them this. Ooh. And at that, right? Okay, so this is the heart of the matter. This is the scarcity thing about who are we? And this is the big question that we all have to ask ourselves, whether it's in the, what we're facing now with a vaccination or, Brenda, what you said earlier, right? Like a year ago, what were we dealing with?
Toilet paper.
Right? We were dealing with toilet paper.
Scarcity. Toilet paper.
Right? That's why I think scarcity is such a great title for this, because this will not be the last time, folks, in our lifetimes that we're going to be dealing with an issue of scarcity. It could be on a smaller scale. It could be on a larger scale. We're all dealing with large scale right now, but it's scarcity. So when I was given the instructions on what to do, the first thing I did is I sat with it. And it didn't take long. And I sat with it, is this the right thing for me to do? And the first place that I went, and I'm really a massive fan of this author, but it's Mitch Albom. He's the one who wrote Tuesdays with Maury, which was more memoir, right?
Right.
Then he wrote these books called like The Five People You Meet in Heaven or The Last Person You Meet in Heaven. And I've read all of them. In fact, I have one of them sitting on my bedside table again to read for the third time. That's how much I love these books because I know they're fiction, but they feel very real to me. And the reason why I bring this up, and I encourage everybody to also read these books because I think there's a lot you can get from them, because what you find out about people that you may or may not have actually remembered you interacted with them, but your action caused a reaction, right? So for instance, I think one of the stories is like somebody was like riding a bike and they got out of the way really fast, but that car ended up hitting another person on a bike and that person lost their life because that other person, you like quickly got out of the way kind of thing, right? And, but let me give you a real example about what I kept thinking to myself as I was processing through this is I don't want to go to the pearly gates, even though I know there's no such thing as pearly gates. We're just going to say that right now.
There might be if you believe in them.
They might be pearly gates. My gates are going to be cherry pie. So when I reach the gates of cherry pie.
You're going to be sad and disappointed because once you drop this body, you can't taste food.
Damn it. Once I reach the gates of cherry pie, I can still have my visual.
That's true. How about it?
I don't want the first person to greet me saying, I died because you took my place in line. And I cannot get out of that. I can't move away from it. But I also want to be very clear that I will judge no one who decided to actually potentially cut in line from someone else, because that is not my job to judge you. I can only make decisions for myself. And I can tell you very clearly, I have not gone and signed up again for this, for the vaccination, and I'm not going to go in there and tell them a lie.
Yeah.
And this is a very karmic thing to me. It is also a moral compass thing.
Yeah. And you know, I so appreciate you bringing this up because it's something that I think people hear and they notice it, like they kind of tilt their head to the side. And then when they're in it, it's a different situation for people. Like when you hear someone else doing it, you're like, that's interesting, I wonder. But once they get in, they're like, oh, I can get a vaccine or I can buy this whole shelf of toilet paper or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is, right?
You know, there are different things throughout different, you know, phases of humanity that this happens. And quite frankly, in the U.S., I know we're not only, you know, broadcast in the U.S., but we are not overly familiar out of stock things that we can't have access to, right? We're spoiled and because the supply chain is pretty strong. But in other countries, they're a lot more familiar with it and they may handle it better. They may just be better at the black market. I don't know because I'm not there. But I do think it's an opportunity to really look and go, okay, what would I cross a line for? What wouldn't I cross the line? And to consider it before you're in that situation is critical. It's really critical. And again, I think it's important, you know, this aspect of not judging others because we don't know their entire circumstance.
No, and I really like one of the big things that I want to practice in this life is to not judge. You know, when you talk about lawyers and you talk about doctors and they call what they do a practice, I feel the same way about judgment and about also being present. Like I strive every day to practice these things. You know, I want to practice to not judge. I want to practice to make decisions that fit into what my moral compass is. But I also know in these situations, it's that first chakra. You know, guys, we've talked about chakras a lot. And it's that first chakra, that fight or flight. And that is why people are buying their way into vaccines. That's why they are cutting lines. But I also want to be really clear. It's not that clear. Because, because, and this is, I think it's worth like kind of diving into some of these aspects of it. It's like, I would much rather, and I'd be okay if I waited in line at a pharmacy at the end of the day. And if they had to throw out a dose to let it hit the ground, I'd rather it hit my arm. Because I think that's a different kind of karma that ends up with that. It's like throwing things away, right? Versus putting them in somebody's arm. So I would take that if given the opportunity, if it was going to be, you know, hit the ground, I'd rather hit my arm. Right. But taking someone else's spot, because again, I understand how we operate in fight or flight. We've been doing it for 12 months, folks.
Yeah.
Right? We've been doing it for 12 months. And I think, especially when we can start looking at our privilege, because I've been looking at my privilege throughout all of this. So I'm going to bring in, and Brenda's like, ooh, she just said it. And because again, we haven't had this conversation, folks. And because I will tell you, I spent a big part of my adult life being quite privileged, you know, and the privilege was through my work. You know, I can go down the list, and I actually will, to tell you the things that I've been able to experience in this lifetime. I've been to the Grammys at least a half a dozen times. I've been to the Academy Awards at least a half a dozen times. I've been to the Emmys until I stopped because it was boring as hell to be there. Sorry, Emmys, but you got to put on a better show. You know, I have had the great fortune of actually taking, you know, kids in my life to the Kids' Choice Awards. I can't countless, by the way. I can't even count how many times I've gone to the Kids' Choice Awards. I have had privilege. I didn't have to wait in line. I didn't have to buy a ticket. I didn't have to do any of those things. And so it is a little bit even harder for me to get to that place of not feeling privilege. And my privilege, I know I have privilege because of my skin color. I definitely don't have it because of my gender, and I definitely don't have it because of my sexuality. But if I ever had it, it would be because of my skin color. But this was very much because of the job that I held. And I think about that. And in fact, yesterday when Suzanne and I were driving for like 9 hours, I thought a lot about what the privilege, because this really opened something big for me. And I can't, you know, I wanted to talk about it because I can't imagine it didn't open something big for other people. And that, you know, I would just, you know, really recommend that if you feel a certain way, if you feel like, you know what, I can hang back for a couple months. I am not on the front lines. Right. As much as I would like to have this happen, because believe me, I would love to go roam the world again.
I know.
I would.
I have dear friends who are inquiring, are you on the list? Are you on the list? I'm like, I don't need it right now. There are people who actually do. And first of all, I'm not qualified in the state of Ohio, but we'll talk more about this when we come back from this break.
Brenda break. We're on a Brenda break.
This episode is brought to you by Microsoft. Take your PC gaming to the next level with the incredible graphics, blazing performance, and high frame rates on select Windows 10 gaming PCs from Target. Then gear up with Xbox Game Pass for PC. For one low monthly price, you can use the Xbox app on Windows 10 to play over 100 high-quality PC games like Minecraft, Microsoft Flight Simulator, or same-day new releases like Halo Infinite. You also get member discounts and deals on select games and game add-ons in the Xbox Game Pass for PC library. Visit target.com/PCgaming to browse Windows 10 gaming PCs and to learn more about Xbox Game Pass for PC.
Support for this podcast comes from Jobs Ohio. In Ohio, we like low taxes more than tall buildings. Quality of life doesn't sound like an oxymoron here. And we emphasize the home part of our work from home policies. If you're looking to start or grow your business, Ohio is for you. Ohio has the country's 7th biggest economy and 2 of the top 6 cities in the U.S. for startups, according to Forbes. Ohio has a business-friendly climate with a 0% tax on state corporate income, R&D investments, and goods sold out of state. With a highly skilled and growing workforce, a low cost of living, and a high quality of life, Ohio is better for businesses and employees. Because Ohio isn't built for followers, they're building for leaders. Check out ohioisforleaders.com to learn more.
Hi, everybody. We are back from the Brenda break, because that's all they are now. They are not Jenny breaks. They are Brenda breaks. They're not elf breaks. But I think, because we did have a little tiny chat in the last break, so to at least kind of have some sort of structure for you guys at this conversation, is that to try to understand how you can be able to identify that this is what you're dealing with, where it comes from, and I think that our illustrious witchy poo can help us through this.
So, this is just how I think about it. We all want to survive. We all have different ways of doing that. We all have different priorities and different skills in doing that. And when you've got a pandemic going on, that confidence in our ability to survive is threatened. And what do they say? 1 out of 3 of us know someone who's passed in this country, know someone who's passed from COVID. And so instead of that being a unifying factor, like we're all in this together, what happens when there's only so much vaccines available is that we end up pitting against each other, and it gets, you know, we get triggered into fight, flight, and freeze. And that happens at the root chakra, right? That says, I'm not safe. I have to protect my tribe, right? That gets triggered in a way that says, attack, right, be on the attack instead of being inclusive and taking care of the whole collective, the larger community, you have to go on the attack to seek out something just for you and your closer tribe. And so that's what happens. And that's why people are jumping state lines. That's why, you know, and is it right or wrong? Who's to say? I get that things will break the rules, but the rules aren't always inclusive. We know lots of rules that are crazy in how they get applied. So I understand that people break the rules, but to be aware of what's actually happening, that, oh, I feel threatened, I feel at risk, I feel like I'm not going to survive. If I wait two more months, I'm not going to survive. If I've survived this long and I can continue to operate my life in this manner, chances are good I'm going to be able to continue doing this. Like, you have to drop in instead of getting swept up. Like, we get swept up because the collective energy gets supercharged of scarcity, and then it's contagious. It literally is contagious because it's an energetic charge. And so you can, if you, you know, listen at the first chakra level, you can hear down the street, snap, 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 of the first chakra is snapping shut. Like, it's, you know, and you have to go, wait, is this real? Is this true? Is this truly the only way that I can survive another day? Probably not.
Right.
And that doesn't mean don't get on the list and don't go, if you want to be vaccinated, get on the list and do, you know, do what's,
oh, yeah,
what you can do to take care of it.
Right. Please, everybody, know we are not recommending people not do this. This is not it at all.
Yeah.
We're just trying to, like, you know, you look at, is it my turn? It feels a little Wheel of Fortune-ish in the tarot card. I mean, that's what I kept seeing. I don't know if that's true. Does that feel?
Well, to Wheel of Fortune is a vibrational match, and how we're getting vaccinated is by somebody else's rules. So it doesn't feel that way to me.
Okay.
Because Wheel of Fortune is like, I don't know, it might happen, it might not.
It depends
on the energetic
got
match.
It.
And the process, while different states have different processes, this is, you know, the process is the process. And we know it'll happen eventually for all adults over the age of, you know, whatever.
16.
It's all going to happen. And whenever it happens. So we all know that. I understand the urgency. I understand the desire to want to return to life. Like, we were so lucky. We had such a beautiful freedom in this country and ability to move around and full employment and all those things that are really great, you know, that we want to get back to. And there's still a process. And how can we contribute to knowing we're safe?
Right.
We have behaviors and processes that work for us that have kept us safe. And we can do that until we get the vaccine.
Right. You know, Suzanne and I had to escape our house because we were getting a floor replaced in our living room. And
I think that is vacate your house, not escape it.
We had to escape / vacate our house. And part of the reason was for safety, right? I don't need other people in our house. Like, we've been really good about that. So we chose to, we were going to go to Port Aransas, Texas, but then the shit show happened in Texas. So we ended up last minute just driving out to Hilton Head. And my reason for telling everybody this is ended up being an utter delight because we're able to take the dogs on the beach and off leash. It was really fantastic. And because you're outside, you're not around other people. So it felt safe. But there was a few folks that we met on the beach at a safe distance, right? And met this really awesome woman. And it's so funny because we walked off from her and Suzanne looked at me and she goes, holy crap, that was Margaret, my mother. She was like, that woman carried the energy of your mother. I said, is that why I wanted to hug her? And she goes, I think so. But she was this kind of brash, cool, like, you know, older woman. And she was a New Yorker. And I just loved her the second I laid eyes on her. But she proceeded to tell us a story about how she and her husband drove across the Florida state line because there didn't seem to be many rules in Florida for the vaccinations at the time, where they had different set of rules, I guess. And so they got an appointment. They drove however many hours to get to wherever the hell they went, and they were vaccinated.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, it's like, I think that's where it started to really click with me. I'm like, oh, I see. Okay, so this is what's happening.
This is what's going on. Yeah.
This is what's going on. And it's going on with a lot of privileged people because not many people have the ability to take the time or the money to go drive across the state line. Or they, you know, they just don't, they can't do that. And the ones who are really needing it aren't getting it, which is when I went back to the Mitch album, you know, the five people you meet in heaven. I just don't want it to be somebody who should have, I got their shot. I mean, I just, I can't help it. I really, like, I go, that's where I land.
And this, you know, this ability to, like, when she told you that story, you know, driving into Florida to get this, there, like, you listened it deeply and you're like, there's something here that's triggering something within me. I'm going to unpack that later.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And to have, first of all, have the awareness, love that. And then to have the ability and create the opportunity to be still and dive in and unpack it for yourself. Not about her, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's
no. Just,
it's about, right? It's about you and yourself. That's a whole nother level of sophistication and skill and mastery that is needed more in these situations. We have to be self-referencing when it's a wild, wild west out there regarding vaccines.
Literally. Right?
And so we have to, like, what is okay with me? What is appropriate for me? What is me at my highest? How can I be my best and keep my high vibe? That's the question, because that's as powerful as any vaccination. You know,
right.
Still get the vaccine, but, like, it is powerful for your system to set that intention and then do that internal work to find it, to stay in that space of, I'm holding my own integrity, right?
Right. Thank you, by the way, because I took that as a compliment. I believe it was intended, and I took
it
as that. So thank you very much, because it's, you know, it is that, you know, when I mentioned, you know, about doctors and lawyers, they call it a practice. They call it a practice for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I practice. I try a lot practicing. Sometimes I have to try as hard, but sometimes I do to practice finding that space. And I really encourage and offer people to find those times. And sometimes it's instant and you get like a hit, like, ooh,
right.
I need to file that, because I need to pull that file open again and see what this really means to me and spend time with it. And then also listen, because I will tell you that if I had made the decision, because I've already made my decision, I'm going to wait. If I'm the last person to get it, that means I'm supposed to be the last. Somebody has to be the last one. I doubt I'm going to be the last one, but it's like, if I have to, because listen, I'm fucking 51, so they can't really put me at the end. I mean, let's be honest.
These are the things that go through her mind.
They're totally things. Yes, you guys.
I'm like, karmic law.
Yeah, right, right. But I'll tell you, I also, as part of this kind of practicing, is I think about, well, what would it be if I didn't? And I think that's really important too, because, right, I think about, what would it be if I didn't? What would, and it's not just, you know, when I cross over and I'm faced by the person that I literally took their life from them, because I think there's a form of stealing that's involved. Like, the Buddhist definition of theft to me is what it feels like, because the Buddhist definition of stealing versus the Christian definition of stealing is very different. And
very different.
And it feels that to me. But I think about, what would it be? And I have to tell you what I saw, because, like, I have the ability to see more visions now than I have in the past. And what I saw, it looked like a fiery hell. I mean, it looked like rolling down. I mean, it didn't look good. It's like, oh, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Like, it even confirmed by going through that practice with myself, right? Going through, here's what it feels. This feels right. This feels good. But it not just to be, you know, an arrogant, you know, metaphysical asshole.
Because I can. Yeah.
Right? Because I can. Right. It truly is like, oh, this feels right. And then it's like, what is if I didn't make that choice? It was even further confirmation that it's the wrong choice for me to make.
Yes. Yes. And when you play by the rules, when it is 50 and above, you don't have to spend any of that energy.
None.
Right?
No, I can feel
it's
good about
so
it.
It's so clean.
It's my turn.
And yeah. And just to build on that concept of practice, right? That's why we call it a meditation practice.
Exactly.
That's why we call it a spiritual practice, right? We try every day, and it's not perfection, it's practice.
Right.
Right.
Right. I had my asshole stepdad used to say, so you know where this is going when I introduce
just
him.
Just make it sound like that's his first name.
it should be. And God, if he only listened, he probably wouldn't be such an asshole. But my asshole ex-stepdad used to say, practice makes perfect. Like, that was his big thing. Like, because I played golf, right? And somehow he tried to take credit for it. But I remember, like, I don't know, maybe it was like a few years after Mom booted him out, and she actually corrected him. And she said to me, she's like, you know what, honey, practice is actually just practice. She goes, practice is just to help you, you know, become better or find the different things you need to fix. That's practice. Don't ever expect to be perfect, especially at a game like that. You know, and she just gave me so much space and to breathe.
Isn't that beautiful?
Right? To breathe. So if somebody feels like, you know, you have to be perfect at something, and I think, Brenda, you had told me one day, you're like, you know, you are perfectly imperfect, my elf. And it felt great, whatever the hell it meant. But it was like, you're perfectly imperfect,
well,
my elf.
We all are. I mean, we're perfectly ourselves. And as human beings, we're imperfect.
Yes.
Because our school is hard.
Right. So if you make choices that maybe don't meet with who you truly are, you know, just...
you can course correct it.
You can. Right?
Pay attention to how that feels. Pay attention if it's still getting your attention in the wee corners of your mind, just as you're doing something that doesn't take a lot of focus. You're like, ooh, that's bubbling up again. Ooh, that's bubbling up again. That's because it doesn't feel right. It hasn't landed. Honor your inner knowing. Give it space.
Honor your inner knowing.
Yeah.
Yes, please, everybody, including me. Honor your inner knowing.
Again, it's not about... an absolute, get the vaccination or don't. It really is so much bigger than that. And making sure you disconnect from that collective swirl, whatever it is. You know, toilet paper, vaccines, you take your pick.
And I will tell you, Fresca was my thing that was running out in the grocery stores at the beginning of the pandemic. And I will tell you, I did a little hoarding of Fresca. And not that it was going to save anybody's life, but I really like Fresca.
I didn't want to be without it.
But you know what? I learned to live without it.
Yeah.
You know, course. I mean, I know it's Fresca, but I'm just saying we can learn.
We can learn so much. And then remember, with great compassion, to have the intention be, I'm really trying to do my best. And it is a practice.
I'm practicing to be my best. Just don't practice to be an asshole. That's it. You just practice this other. Just don't practice to be an asshole.
Yeah, that's real.
Don't practice being an asshole.
But it's you know, also according to your own standards. I think that's really important.
Because we're all here, right? With a different path, different experiences that we're supposed to have, different lessons that we're supposed to have. And that is why I'm so clear on that. And that is why everybody who did like kind of cut a line, so to speak, it's like, okay, that's your path, man. It's, and that's okay. And I still fucking love you as much as I did before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm taking one final break.
So we're starting, we're rolling.
Are we already recording?
Look at that. You got notes. This is so official.
Hey, guys. It's Brian Baumgartner. Now, maybe you've heard my podcast, An Oral History of the Office, where we go deep into the making of the show. Now, well, you can go even deeper. That's what she said. Because I am sharing my full-length conversations with some of my favorite people on the planet, the cast and crew of The Office. Guys, we share insights and memories that even if you are a diehard fan, you will have never heard these before. This is The Office Deep Dive.
Dwight actually never said that. In 200 episodes, people should realize that Dwight never actually said that.
Wow. I would never have gotten that.
I blew your mind.
I never would have gotten that. Listen to The Office Deep Dive on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 2006, and Emily, a 21-year-old American, is at a retreat center in India, immersed in a week-long silent meditation.
She climbs up to the roof of the retreat center, it's at 4 a.m. or so, and wraps a scarf around her face and jumps off the building to her death.
I was shocked and confused when I heard this story. How can a spiritual practice like meditation make you do that? I'm Caroline Slaughter, the host of a new podcast called Astray. In the podcast, I investigate the disappearances and deaths of other Westerners who have gone astray in what's been called the spiritual Bermuda Triangle. Astray examines the cost of a spiritual awakening and asks, how far would you go for enlightenment? Listen to Astray on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. We're back again from You Know Who's Break. I don't even think I have to mention.
You sound so annoyed.
Said person. I am. Go ahead. Quit reading my mind. It pisses me off. And you told me once it was rude. And then I stopped. Reading everybody else's mind.
My apologies. Can't even say that with a straight face. Okay, so just to wrap up, we get scared. We move into fight, flight, and freeze. And when we drop into our own knowing, we can clear out that collective noise. It can inform, but it doesn't have to hijack your guidance. It doesn't have to override what you know and can feel is your true path. That's okay for you. That feels right to you. Regardless of what everyone else is doing, regardless of what other people are telling you, only you know what you can live with and what feels right for you. And, you know, really, we have amazing tools. I'm literally looking at the protection pouch that's on my desk right now that has selenite in it and black tourmaline. And it just is so helpful in energetically clearing things out so that when you create that space within to dive in and connect, you have this crystal of support, and it's so helpful. It's so important.
Yeah,
you
have this energetic support, right? It's interesting because, you know, one of the reasons I desperately wanted us to carry the clearing and protection bowl is because I had used it myself for years.
Right.
Because it's not even around me and I can feel it. Because because I'm, you know, listen, we all have our issues, right? I have my own set of issues. And what I found that I could do is that when I would sit there and put the bowl in my lap and I would run my hands through all of those energies, those protective energies, the grounding energies, the loving energies, everything that supported my chakras all the way up from the bottom to the top, that I was aligned and I could make better decisions. And so that to me was so crucial. And then, you know, there's other things to support your first chakra. And listen, guys, I don't want to be the one always selling you shit, because here's the thing. We're going to tell you about stuff. Love if you want to buy it from us, get it from someplace else if you feel fit, if you feel like you need to. But we're making an awareness of it for you. But we have garnet malas. And yes. Holy moly, are those, beautiful. They are magical. It is all that first, that root chakra, and helps clear that up so you don't have that feeling of scarcity, that you know you're okay no matter what. And of course, with, you know, Brenda's affirmations, which by the way, we have them up on the website. So if you have your own mala, use the affirmations. You're not stealing them. They're there for you guys.
They were given to me and I'm giving them to you.
Exactly. And so those are really helpful. So like any of those types of stones, you know, like the red stones, I find to be really helpful. Smoky quartz is another one. You know, it's very funny. We're driving back from Hilton Head, we have our dogs with us. And Suzanne's little Maltese named Rebel, who acts like that. And Brenda told me
perfectly
early on,
named.
I know, but you told me then you could be careful what you name your animals. And holy shit, we made a mistake. But we love this little dog.
It's only after I met the dog, I was like,
Yeah, you're in trouble, man. But so Rebel is our little Maltese, and she had a little upset tummy. I can't even say it because I'm I'm reliving it right now because it was only two days ago.
Don't gack.
And, you know, she had a few accidents in the car. Aww. They didn't smell great. And Suzanne is like all upset and trying to clean the shit out of the car. And Sookie wouldn't go in the back. And so we had to change spots. And I had to sit in the passenger side and have my 55-pound Labradoodle sitting on my lap for 2 hours. I mean, it was very chaotic. And Suzanne was really like unnerved. I wish you guys could see me right now. Like my hands
and Suzanne
are moving.
Doesn't really get like that very often.
No, but she can, but not very often. And she was unnerved. And so we stopped at a crystal wholesaler because we were getting things for the store. And I saw they had these, and I didn't buy any, guys. I'll call them if you guys want them to get them because we just didn't have room in the car. But I found it was one that I got for her. I bought her one smoky quartz palm stone. And the beauty of smoky quartz is that smoky quartz allows you to release what does not serve you.
It's a transmutative stone, right?
It's amazing. And so when I went back out to the car and packed all the stuff in there, I handed Suzanne, I go, babe, I got you some. And she just grabbed a hold of it and it's really big. She stuck it in her bra, which I don't understand why she chose that location. Maybe because she's my wife. And I'm not kidding. Within 5 minutes, jovial Suzanne showed back up and I was just started smiling because she released what wasn't serving her. She was able to, like you said, transmute
those, transmutes negativity.
Those angst, that angst that she was having, and then everything was all fine. So you have support out there. I think you know, us droning on about stones is just to let you know that you have support out there. There's things out there for you. And I now am going to call this place and order some of those damn palm stones, because I think you guys are probably going to want them, because they are truly magnificent. If they work for Suzanne, I promise they'll work for you.
Exactly. That's such a great story. And again, it's just finding your own connection. And however you do that, just do it to make sure that you're creating a life that supports your guidance and is aligned to your very best.
That's right.
Make it your practice.
And find that light in the midst of all the darkness, because it's always there.
Without a doubt.
It is always there, guys. You can find it. You really can. Yeah. And you usually find it within, for the record. So if you're looking, if you're looking at a map,
the
hermit card. I know. God, I love that fucking card. Oh my God, I love that card. But you're going to find it within yourself.
And thank you so much for listening.
Thanks, everybody. And
remember, her school is hard.
Without the other side. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Have a great day.